spectacularly for public consumption. It was about putting the Vietnam syndrome to rest.
Talk about the effects, Umberto Brown. You were a Panamanian diplomat at the time. The effects of the U.S. invasion. The Pentagon said hundreds of people died. Panamanians said something like 3,000 people died in this attack. How long did it last?
Well, Amy, just in the first hour, we had had 200 and about close to 400 bombs were dropped after midnight. Devastating poor neighborhoods, El Chorrillo, Marañón, Caledonia. So it was devastating because, one, the majority of the people who suffered the consequences of it were poor people in the urban areas. And the elite who was complicit to this were their neighborhood were protected, they were safe. Some of them was removed from their homes and were placed in the canal zone. So there was two different approaches. One was intimidation and literally expressing no concern for the poor. So we think it was very devastating. And it's interesting that at 25 years, this is the first time one of the presidents are talking about the need to answer questions about how many people die, how many people disappear. And on Saturday, the new president, President Varela, said that he wanted to create a special commission to investigate what happened during the invasion. How many people die because they're attempting to get a national reconciliation. The debate, there's always a debate in Panama, if we celebrate this as a day of mourning, the president called it a day of reflection, and there's a sector that called it a day of liberation. So we still have conflicting view of the impact of this invasion in Panama.
And Colonel Wilkerson, in Washington, you were an aide to Colin Powell during this time. What's your understanding of why this attack took place?
Well, my understanding was the understanding that the press reported. It was everything from attacks on or threatened attacks on our officers and men and women in the military in Panama to drug trafficking and extensive contacts with drug gangs that had grown much larger than the contacts with the CIA had ever contemplated and so forth. But I've got to say that in what I teach, you could learn a lot about U.S. operations in its own hemisphere. This was an operation not so unique as one of the speakers just suggested. Go back and look at Marine General Smedley Butler and his testimony to the then Armed Forces Committee in the Congress, where he essentially compared himself to Al Capone, and he said, Al Capone operated on one continent, I operated on two. I was a criminal for American commercial interest. We have invaded someone or interjected our military force into someone's territory in the Caribbean about 35 times since 1850. This is our hemisphere. The Monroe Doctrine is still operational, and we seem to think that we can interfere in anyone's country at any time. 2002, we tried to foment a coup in Caracas to overthrow Hugo Chavez. This is nothing new. This is the way America operates in its own hemisphere.
We have 10 seconds, Greg Brandon, but then we'll continue this and put it online.
I agree completely. The Cold War, though, did force the United States to operate under the legitimacy of multilateralism, and that's what gets swept away with Panama, with the invasion of Panama, and it does set the terms for future invasions. But I agree completely.
Of course, General Noriega was taken prisoner at the time and brought to the United States, and in our post-show interview, we will continue that discussion about why the U.S. changed its view of him from the U.S.'s man to the U.S.'s prisoner. Greg Grandin and Umberto Brown and Colonel Wilkerson, thanks so much for joining us. Part two online at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Our website is democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
On your concert billboard for Sunday, December 21st. Steve Mall will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 1 p.m. The Yiddish Art Trio will be at the Museum at Eldridge Street, Manhattan, 7 p.m. New York Jazz Mission will be at Treme in Islip. The Vendettas will be at the Bay Street Theater, Sag Harbor. Los Lobos will be at City Winery at 8. Maris Yahoo will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village. Kerry Carney will be at Mr. Beery's in Bethpage at 9. This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, December 22nd. The Cheryl Bailey Trio will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, 7 p.m. Royal Chaos will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan, at 8. Chris Bode will be at the Blue Note, Manhattan, 2 shows, 8 and 10:30. Los Lobos will be at City Winery at 8. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, December 23rd, the Bakersfield Breakers will be at Slake, Manhattan, 6 p.m. The Toby Tobias Ensemble will be at K.G. Farrell's in Belmore, 7:30. Alan Toussaint Trio will be at City Winery at 8. Kenny Rogers will be at the NYCB Theater in Westbury. Looking ahead to Wednesday, December 24th, Jeremy Pelt will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, at 10. Check the online edition of Concert Billboard at wusb.fm/CBB for the up-to-datest and the latest information.
And good evening, everyone. It is 6:05 p.m. at 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook, and that means only one thing. It's time for Off the Wall. Thank you. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I can't hear. Good evening, everyone.
I can hear. I can hear just fine.
It's over here where I can hear
myself. That's what I was telling you before. That switch, it sounds crappy, but you can hear.
Okay.
Whereas the other one sounds great, but you can't hear.
It would appear we're both in stereo, and as crumbly and staticky as this sounds...
Well, it sounds crumbly and staticky to us. To
we know.
To listeners, it doesn't.
Exactly. And that's what's important. Well, here we are.
It's Off the Wall, Emmanuel here.
And Kyle with you on the board.
Welcome back.
I feel welcome. Thanks for welcoming me.
Do you feel back?
I feel mildly back, yeah.
Good, good.
And I really am impressed with how quickly I was able to figure out the new board.
It's not a new board at all. It may look like a new board, but it's actually the same old board.
Oh.
What's new is your outlook.
I think that's what it is. I think I just have a fresh take, and it looked new. It looked ready.
We spray painted it red for the holidays.
Oh, that's what all the flock... Okay.
Yeah, that's the smell, too.
Mm.
It's a bad idea overall, but you gotta do what you do.
Yeah, chestnut flavor. Got it.
Wow, so holiday plans. Anything, anything we want to reveal, discuss, talk about?
Well, obviously the holiday is coming up.
It is coming up. Can't stop.
You know, I'm at a weird point. I don't know if I should express this, but I'll just say that for me, family and the kind of old traditional holiday, mm-hmm. well, it's transforming for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a kid anymore.
I had this whole talk last week in this time, so I'll
you
let
did.
You go ahead and...
Well, I'll confess, I actually am not caught up, but... If you did, I'll just elaborate. Let me reiterate. I'm
Please.
Going through that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Families going all over the place. Siblings and new families starting. Geographical change. All kinds of transition, transformation. And that's good. That's really good. I'm thrilled because, well, it's terrifying and it's also exciting at the same point. So for me, the holidays are going to be an interesting... change and you know a little bit of the old but a lot of new and mm-hmm. redefining for me what family is and what my traditions will be going forward, and that's kind of where I'm at. So
making your own new traditions.
That's right. Yeah. And I don't want to if I've ever sounded down about it, it's not that. It's just that what I grew up with is one thing, but what I'm facing now as an adult is completely different. So I am nostalgic. I have that memory and that joy and all those things, I think, but it's certainly not the way I'm practicing the holiday season now.
Well, you don't sound down. You might sound down in 2 weeks, but you don't sound down right now.
Yeah, I'm actually excited, and I love the weather. I'm like you. I love the change in the scenery. I actually like all the lights people put up. And then, you know, when the storm hits, you have all these glowing white lights. It's really beautiful. There's so many little memories like that or imaginative things that really, really encapsulate what the holidays are about. For me, it's not about the obligations to family to buy things or, you know, make up for the whole year you haven't been paying attention to anybody. It's really about the smells and the scene and the mood and the cheer.
You define it as you go along. When you're a kid, things are different. That's what I was talking about last week. You just have different sensations and different expectations. And, you know, you remember that when you get older, but you can't live by that or it just gets too depressing because it can never be the same. Anything cannot be the same as when you were a kid.
Exactly, yeah.
And you need to make new boundaries and new adventures and new traditions and things like that. And I think, you know, that's what most of us wind up doing. But we should be positive about it as we do it, not think, you know, of all the things that are lost, because they're not lost, they're just different. They're things of the past that are now the present for other people, and your present has changed to something else.
Truly. And it is interesting that you realize, well, I do have a lot of kind of family, not in the biological sense, but there are a lot of people in my life I love and you care about and you reach out to, especially during this time. And I think that, yeah, I mean, it's still there. It's just different, like you said. So
yes.
That's kind of what goes through my mind as the holidays are coming by. And I guess a new tradition is travel. You and I have been spending the holidays together in one way or another the last couple of years. And we tend to try to get out and see the world a bit.
Yeah. Actually, the last couple of years we haven't at this time of year. But before that, we had been to the Chaos Communication Congress in Berlin. And this year, we're going to the Chaos Communication Congress in Hamburg because they moved.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us, but they moved and we found them and we're going anyway. But it's supposed to be really, really cool and massively big and all that. And we're looking forward to it. Having been through HopeX this year and done all kinds of crazy things, it'll be nice to see other people doing crazy things, and we can just sort of relax a little bit.
And be a spectator, observe the craziness, and really just connect with people and enjoy ourselves. I think that's what I'm...
I have yet to do that since Hope. Do you know that?
I believe it.
That was July, and I've been working ever since on all kinds of post-Hope projects, current 2600 projects, expansion, and regression, all sorts of things.
Yes, yes.
And now maybe I can finally kick back a little bit, you know?
Drink some glue wine and visit a holiday market.
Well, you know, the Christmas markets, as they're called over there, because they don't have a war on Christmas.
Here. Christmas market. Yeah.
People overseas, it's horrible. If you say the word Christmas, you spend the night in jail. Yeah, that's how it is. You should just spread all this stuff. We should just do conservative radio and spread all kinds of lies. It's so easy. It's so easy. Obama.
Isn't that what we do?
Obama the Arab, he is over here intimidating everybody and threatening us if we don't learn to speak Spanish. And I can do this.
Yeah. And the motion picture industry is it's being taken over by Dick Cheney.
Yeah, we should talk about him a little bit because it is that time of year.
It is. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? Who has a heart of cold?
Oh, man,
cold,
yeah.
It's, green coal.
Hey, the New York green coal, yeah, that's Cheney, all right.
Yeah, kids are getting green coal. All the naughty kids get green coal for Christmas.
Wow. Okay, New York Times has called on the feds to investigate Dick Cheney for torture.
Finally.
But think about that. You know, the New York Times is actually saying, I can understand. I can understand why, if you're in politics, you can't go and call for somebody to be brought up on charges. You know, the previous president or vice president or whatever. You got to play the political game. Look at everything that Obama says, all right, and look at the strong reaction against it. He says the sky is blue. Fox News is going to interrupt all programming to, like, attack him for that.
Of course.
All right, so if he says something even remotely criticizing Bush, they're going to be all over him. And, of course, the people supposedly on the left will not support him and just kind of hang him out to dry. In this particular case, it's up to us. It's up to the people. When the people speak up, everyone is forced to react to that. We see that in the demonstrations that are going on about police brutality. We'll get to that in a little while, too. But as far as this, if we demand an investigation, if we demand prosecution, it'll happen. But we have to do that. And I don't know if we have enough people. I don't know if enough people will actually stand up for that. I'd like to think that people care enough to do that. But
well, Also, I'm curious, and this is the first really I've heard of it. Has he had enough time to put in some safety nets for himself to mitigate any kind of backlash or anything that would come from the people? I think we've waited far too long, actually. But
this is what I'm seeing now, and this actually, I don't know why we got it this way. It's from the Washington Times reporting on the New York Times. We should have just gotten the editorial. But in a Monday editorial titled Prosecute Torturers and Their Bosses, the New York Times called on the U.S. Department of Justice to launch an investigation of former Vice President Dick Cheney and several other Bush administration officials for actions they took to counter terrorism and root out terrorists post-September 11, 2001. The press for a federal query came in response to the Senate's Democratic-fueled analysis on the administration's response to terrorism, the so-called torture report. Now, here's a quote from the Times editorial. This report erases any lingering doubt about their depravity and illegality. In addition to new revelations of sadistic tactics like rectal feeding, everyone is really latching onto that one.
Serious fixation there.
Yeah, scores of detainees were waterboarded, hung by their wrists, confined in coffins, sleep-deprived, threatened with death, or brutally beaten. These are simply crimes. They are prohibited by federal law. And as such, the Justice Department should launch a full investigation of the key players, the New York Times said. The question everyone will want answered, of course, is who should be held accountable? Any credible investigation should include former Vice President Dick Cheney, Mr. Cheney's Chief of Staff, David Addington, former CIA Director George Tenet, John Yoo, Jay Beebe, the Office of Legal Counsel lawyers who drafted what became known as the torture memos, and, of course, Rush Limbaugh. I'm just hoping to throw that in to get some traction. I think he should go before a court.
Right, him and Glenn Beck.
Yeah. You think we can get them both?
Mm-hmm.
The newspaper pressed for the investigation just as the American Civil Liberties Union is set to present Attorney General Eric Holder with a letter that demands a special prosecutor to investigate what appears increasingly to be a vast criminal conspiracy to commit torture and other serious crimes.
Under the auspices of our country and freedom.
Look,
right?
This could be one of our finer moments. I mean that in all seriousness, because for us to display this, for the world to see what we have done, what we as a nation have done, what we have allowed our elected officials to do.
Owning up to it.
And then to actually do something about it. That is when you realize, hey, you guys, you've got some integrity.
There's something to this system that we so often point to.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
so
cool. Yeah.
I hope that goes somewhere. But again, public response. We need to support this kind of thing.
Right. It's the kind of thing that just has to happen at some point. We have to pay attention.
What are you pointing at?
Nothing. We're just doing some technical things. We've got a lot going on here with the game and stuff. So, but we have to pay attention to this
stuff. I'm sitting right in the way, so they're doing a sports thing at 6:45.
Yeah, we were trying to subtly... Okay.
If you need to go in there and patch things, we can. I can sit over here. Okay, I'll do that.
But it's the kind of thing that we just let kind of go by, and then there's some... Oh, who knows, celebrity thing or whatever cultural attribute that just strikes the fancy of everyone. And then we forget about the real critical stuff that, mm-hmm. Really impacts the perception of our country and our government and thus our businesses and our citizens that may travel around, and we really should honor, and as you said, display the integrity that we feel we have. Especially with regard to this.
Yes. Well, this is a story that I don't think is going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, so let's not get distracted, I think, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Let's try to follow up and pay attention. That's great, though. That's the first I've heard of this.
I mean, there's a lot going on, too, so it's easy to get distracted and easy
exactly.
to lose track of these things.
Well, how about that? How about not just distracted, but a little gloomy? Mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
there's a lot of violence around if you really pay attention. And, I want to say there's some, it's okay to put your head in the sand. It's not. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad. You don't have to expose yourself to all of it. And we've often said, mix it up. Don't just focus on that. Get a good, clear head at times as a consumer of media. But absolutely follow it and follow what's right mm-hmm. in it.
Yes, definitely. And, change the channel every now and then to something a bit lighter.
Sure.
You don't have to get obsessed with all this, but it's important to not ignore it. Too many people just don't want to hear about things that are negative or bad, and as a result, more negative and bad things happen because they don't say anything when it happens the first time.
Yep.
And this is an important story. I'm very happy that people are actually talking about this, and it took guts for the Times to do what they did. And let's hope that's only the beginning. You know that there's more of a call for consequences to these actions that have happened.
Yeah, and I think journalism and the writing and the reporting, it's in waves, and I think the courage is, it kind of comes in ebbs and flows, and it's refreshing when you do see institutions come out a little bit more on the aggressive reporting and investigating side, because, as I said, it ebbs and flows depending on management and all these kind of industry norms. I think people are a little bit, they kind of watch their peers as far as newspapers go, but it's good. It's good to see some people like, let's push in this direction. And that's absolutely how discussion works in modern discourse, and in a democracy and in our various communities. So,
yes. You want to talk about the movie a little bit? Because we're going to talk about that tomorrow night, mostly tomorrow night, but we can mention it here because there's all kinds of late-breaking developments, and somehow we wound up in the middle of all this, as always.
Yes.
It was a very simple thing. You may have heard of the Sony hack that North Korea was blamed for, and then North Korea lost their internet yesterday. I didn't know they had internet. In fact, most of us, I don't think, did. Throughout all of this, we thought it would be fun for hackers to offer to Sony a means of distributing the film.
Of course. Well, and also to speak a bit from a hacker point of view, because, frankly, there was a lot of the H word being thrown around, and a heck of a lot of people professing to know and speak from a position of authority or knowledge about it, but no actual hackers and people that really follow that community. And I think it was important that we got a little bit of a statement or a message out. And there just was a lot of generalizations and confusions and overlapping and layering of misinformation about what hackers are about, and the diversity of the community completely ignored the fact that it is a diverse and interesting community.
What bugged me the most was seeing these reports that said hackers are preventing people from seeing this film, making it seem like hackers are people that go out and silence anything controversial. We're the exact opposite.
Exactly.
We're people that want controversy out there, want people to make up their own minds, want cover-ups to be erased. And so what we did was we simply made an offer to Sony that we would be happy to screen the film for them on our website at 2600.com, or we would have a link to a website that did. And a simple offer like that, and we've had history with Sony in the past. They sued us, along with the rest of the Motion Picture Association of America, back in 2000 because we dared to link to a program that allowed people with Linux computers to view DVDs.
Oh my gosh, Linux computers?
Yes, it was a bad idea. They never should have had access to DVDs. We know that now. But back then, it seemed like a good idea. And we thought it would be a nice, friendly gesture and a way to sort of help them along. Of course, half tongue-in-cheek, if you read the story that was on our main page, you'll see that there's a lot of jesting going on there. But we would have done it. We definitely would have done it had they given the okay. We didn't want to go against them, but we wanted to let them know and let the world know that this is what hackers stand for, is revealing things, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, standing up to controversy.
And having that understanding, truly. I mean, it's in the past, that's great. That's a historical thing. We know Sony's a corporation, right? As hackers, we're aware of what forces may be pushing them one way or the other and all of that. But it is important to have clarity in the discourse. And there was really no clarity.
Right.
That article is great. I really I'm so happy we spoke up a bit.
And we got a lot of reaction from all over the world, from all kinds of people, except people from Sony. We didn't get a reaction from them, but we got a reaction from nearly everybody else. The media was all over this. You might have seen us on BBC or CNN. And I'm happy to say today, Sony finally backtracked and said, hey, we're going to show the film. We're going to show the film after all, both digitally and in a few theaters. So, okay, it's we don't need to offer this anymore, but I think the message was sent. And I'm glad we didn't just sit back and allow it to be assumed that hackers were trying to intimidate. I mean, yeah, maybe somebody was able to get into their system and issue a threat and use some hacking ability to do that because they were working for somebody else. Maybe. I say maybe because we don't have the facts. The facts have not been released to us. We don't know if that was really North Korea that did that or if some bored kid in California. Without the evidence, it's really hard to say who was responsible. And, you know, if it was them, what's the harm in releasing the evidence and showing the rest of the world so that we know what to look for? You know, nothing is lost by that. But Sony, the U.S. government, have been very, very quiet. And in a way, they've been acting like the mysterious powers that don't reveal all the information. North Korea objected to the way they were being treated. They said, we didn't do this. We want to find out who did. So we want to share the investigation, whether you believe or not that they would actually do a good job of that. Had they already done it, it wouldn't have hurt to share the information with them because obviously they already have the information. But the response of the U.S. government was simply to say, if North Korea really wants to help, they'll admit they're guilty. Now think about that statement for a second. That is the most Orwellian statement I can imagine. And coming from the bastion of freedom that we perceive we are, it just seemed incredibly hypocritical and non-constructive.
Yeah, and wow, I mean, yeah, I think it's because it was ongoing, we weren't getting a lot of information, but to snap, basically, at that opportunity, and gosh, even for the entertainment factor, it would have been interesting to do a co-investigation with the North Korean authorities. I mean, how on earth would that have gone? Who knows? But right. I do think that the discussion was changed, and we had an impact. So yeah, moving on. Yeah, we'll probably get into that more, and definitely it'll be interesting to see what people's reaction to the film are if it does indeed come out.
Yeah, I intend to see it one way or another. We're going to be going to Germany, and it was my hope that we would get a copy of it somehow ourselves and just be able to show it on the plane. Right. That would get quite a reaction from people, especially if it wasn't being shown anywhere else.
Yeah.
That could still happen. Who knows? But boy, what a weird week or weird couple of weeks it's been with all
hacking,
that.
Hacking, yeah. A lot of information age type drama, as you know, as well as the physical turmoil in all kinds of places. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very bizarre, and actually a good lead up to the conference and some of the adventures we'll no doubt have during our holiday season.
And you know, we still don't know where we're going. We know we're going to Hamburg for the CCC, but after that, write to us, please. We've been to all kinds of interesting places. We've been to Denmark in the past. We've been to other parts of Germany. I don't know, maybe Austria,
yes.
Netherlands. There's all kinds of places to go. Just write to us, otw@2600.com, if you'd like us to consider your particular neck of the woods.
Hungary.
Well, they have a fascist running things now, I hear. But that could be interesting.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any Hungarian listeners.
If you're Hungarian and you listen, please write in OTW.
Look outside. Are you in Hungary? If you are, we want to hear from you especially.
OTW@2600.com.
That's right.
But any place, really. We've got a lot of ideas, but it's really about picking the route, and it's much better to...
we lost the channel. How about that?
Ask ourselves while we're there. Once we usually get ideas and people have a lot of information. You know, getting together with people, you... you get excited.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's happened now? I don't know if the listeners can hear this.
Really confused.
Yeah, I'm confused too. We're only coming through the right channel. I am told this is because of a squirrel that ate wires in our... This place is so poorly maintained, and I mean the university.
Don't...
We have had squirrels infesting this place literally for years, and the university just does not do anything about it. So we literally are losing channels because of rodents.
Apparently, there was a poem written about the rodent that was living in the studio. Can we ask this squirrel maybe to do a slam poem with this squirrel about maybe reconnecting the left channel? Anyway. The point is, we have a couple ideas and impressions about where we want to go, but when we do finish up with a conference around New Year's, we ask ourselves, where could we go that would be fun? You know, what would make sense for a route and the like? So, in any event, that will be really an exciting decision to make. I mean, Iceland's come up again. I think we like to stay terrestrial too. It'll be good to find a couple trains to take and go around in the area. I like that you mentioned Austria. Austria is one place I've wanted to tip to. I know we passed through there at one point, but it was just on a train, and it, of course, very beautiful. A very beautiful countryside. A lot of elevated highways because of the mountains and stuff over there. And I just remember passing through it and being really mesmerized. I believe for that ride, we were on our way through Austria to, gosh, where was it?
We were on our way to Italy.
Yes. Yeah.
So we found our way there and we passed through Austria. I don't know if we even got out of the train in Austria. We might have just ridden through there.
But Hungary's in the area, right?
Hungary is next door to Austria, yes.
Okay, and didn't they just have a big protest about the internet?
The internet tax.
Yes.
And I think they won for now. But,
yeah.
But internet taxes tend to come back. Speaking of protest,
sure.
We really should focus on what's going on in New York. Because that is important.
Yeah, please.
We certainly have heard about it in the present. If you're listening in the future, maybe you don't know what we're talking about. But the whole series of protests involving police brutality, it reached a weird point when two cops were basically assassinated by a guy that came up from Baltimore and invoked the name of Eric Garner. It's been such a weird turn of events, but what bothers me the most is when people try and link demonstrations to a horrible crime like this. Even though the guy used a name, it's completely meaningless that this would have any connection whatsoever to people that are peacefully protesting. And I know that the media is fixated on this. The media really wants there to be a connection. They've even gone so far as to find a small group of protesters that were chanting horrible things about cops, saying, you know, we want dead cops. I don't know where they found these people, but they certainly don't represent even a small fraction of a percentage of the people out there that want justice, equality, and for people to be able to walk the streets without feeling fear because of the color of their skin, from the authorities, from people, you know, with the guns, with the weaponry. The reaction to this by especially the people of the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, I think it was last week's Dumbass of the Week, and we can't give it to them 2 weeks in a row, unfortunately. What they have been saying is the most incendiary, ignorant remarks that I think is even possible to say in a situation like this, saying that the mayor of New York has blood on his hands because of this. When you think of what Mayor de Blasio did, he simply said that people have a point. There is a problem here. This needs to be dealt with. And the reaction of the policemen's union to this was to basically say that he is their enemy now. He's not allowed to come to their funerals. And we'll see what happens when the funerals of these policemen happen, what occurs then. We've seen them turn their back on him when he visited the hospital. All kinds of really immature, stupid, unconstructive actions and remarks. Somebody that simply was saying, we have a problem here. It was never saying that cops are bad, that we have to, you know, defeat them or anything like that. Just basically, he represents all of the people in New York City. And thank God we have somebody that actually cares about the people in New York City. You would not have seen this under Giuliani. You would not have seen this under Bloomberg. It's basically, he's being a leader, and he should be backed up for being a leader. It really frustrates me and annoys me and angers me to see that kind of blame being thrown. And it shows, I think, more clearly than even the protests have shown what the divide is, what the problem is.
Yeah, I would absolutely say it's divisiveness too, right? It exasperates the situation by emphasizing the divisiveness instead of some cohesion, right? And that inability to kind of stick with the community, and it fragments the discussion further, because then the focus is on divisiveness, or then the focus is on it just spirals away from what the people were protesting in the first place, or anything, you know. And yeah, maybe they said something that was passionate and inflammatory, but it is a symptom of the systemic problems. And by being divisive with the leadership, you're just furthering it to a point of people against the police.
Right. And if the police feel that way, there you go. That's the reason why you're having all of these problems. That's the reason why cops are assuming that everybody is a criminal. That's why they're shooting before they even ask any questions. And if you have cops like that, and I think you're seeing a lot of cops like this, I say get rid of them all. Get rid of all these idiots, all these immature fools. And there'll be plenty of people out there from the community that will be happy to do their job and do it right. All right. And this is basically not in any way saying that cops are by default bad, but when you see this kind of a reaction, their minds are polluted. Oh, I just got a channel back.
Oh, my gosh.
I think the squirrel is done.
Yes.
Now he went back. Mm. So when you see that kind of a thing, it's really saddening, and it's non-constructive. I don't think de Blasio can fire this union representative, this idiot Patrick Lynch. Let me give you an example. This guy, before all this happened, before the grand juries neglected to or declined to indict anybody for his murder, back in October, he made headlines when nobody really knew who he was by claiming that Eric Garner's mom was wrongfully helped by other cops. Listen to this story. It's incredible. The mom of Staten Island police chokehold victim Eric Garner got special treatment when cops fixed her car so she could avoid a summons. That's according to angry police union leaders led by Patrick Lynch. He demanded that the NYPD Internal Affairs Bureau investigate the matter because it appeared top brass were involved in the incident. If the bosses involved fixed the ticket, then they must report themselves to Internal Affairs for disciplinary charges. If the NYPD is now in the car repair business, then they need to let the general public know that if they get a ticket, don't pay it, just call an NYPD boss and they'll fix it. Basically, he's bent out of shape because somebody who works for the NYPD did something nice for this poor guy's mother, this guy who was strangled by the cops. They went out of their way to help her.
It's afterwards.
It's a good thing. They knew who she was.
It's compassion.
It's a little bit of compassion.
Yeah.
Why is this guy so upset at that? Why is he so angry that they went out of their way to help somebody who was a victim of a horrible tragedy and to be determined if it was a crime?
Internal Affairs? Are you kidding?
Yeah. This is the guy from the PBA saying they should report themselves to the Internal. So he obviously has something against Eric Garner's family and basically anybody that's not a cop, you know? And if they're helped by the cops, oh, my God, that's the worst thing ever. This guy is a problem. This guy needs to go. This guy needs to be booted by somebody. I don't know if the mayor can do it, but he is basically the reason, more than anybody else, more than even Al Sharpton, for divisiveness.
Yeah.
All right? And he's leading all these armed people in insurrection and basically intimidating the city. You know, de Blasio called for a moratorium on demonstrations until the funerals. I have no problem with that. I think that's actually would be a great gesture, and I think it's kind of immature for some of the demonstrators saying that de Blasio is just like everybody else now and is saying that we can't express our First Amendment rights. And that's not what he said at all. He said basically show a little bit of respect and let's tone it down until after the funerals. I think demonstrators should go to the funerals and not demonstrate. Stand silently. Take the high road. Say, we feel your pain. You know,
solidarity.
You're human beings, too, and we do not want this kind of thing. I think a lot of people would get that message. I think it would bridge gaps. But, of course, the cops would probably beat people up if they even showed up because, oh, my God, they're all the criminals here that we haven't yet beaten up or killed. It's sickening. It's sickening, that kind of response. Are we out of time? I'm sorry.
I'm afraid we are out of time. We can't go into delay. We can't take your calls, but you can certainly call or send an email to otw@2600.com.
We can't even broadcast in the left channel.
Yeah, we've been relegated to the right. But believe me, that is not where we're coming from.
All right, we'll have travel shows next few weeks. Oh, yeah, North Korean music. What a good way to go out.
I think it is. You do not disappoint me.
And next time, next week, we're actually going to be airing travel shows from last May, because that's when we did our last trip.
Of course, yeah.
And we'll be recording new travel shows for the next time we go away to air.
Oh, you better believe it, people.
Yeah. All right. Let's go out with some North Korean cheer. Have a happy holiday, everybody.
Feliz Navidad.
That's right. This is Zabby from WUSB Stony Brook Radio, and all we want is some truth from these politicians, and we can get it by watching the Suffolk County Legislature on television, but they don't want to be on TV because they're hiding something from you. Well, hey, let's get together and demand that we get to see the Suffolk County Legislature on TV like we do every other level of government. Thank you so much for listening to Zabby's program Mondays, 1:30 p.m. till 2:30, A Woman's Perspective on Politics.
How are they, say?
Wapin jabba,
rude sire.
Hey, Pete, wagwan.
Just cool now.
Easy, Jed, you ready?
Steady now.
Come in.
Stony Brook Posse, wanna hear fresh. I wanna hear you say yes, I wanna hear you say yes. Long Island Posse, wanna hear fresh. I wanna hear you say yes, I wanna hear you say yes. So all those who wanna hear rock, first gonna hear some fresh.
Fresh music, yes.
All those who wanna feel IRA, I can feel fresh.
Fresh music, yes.
When the clock strikes seven on a Friday night, rocking iration gonna make you feel nice. WUSB 90.1 FM.
On your FM, the Ross, Mike, Ross, Bob, and Easy Trip, they only bring you
fresh.
Blues, man, culture, and reggae music to make you feel
fresh.
All those who wanna hear rock, gonna hear it
fresh.
48 degrees, a damp, dreary, misty December evening here on the North Shore of Long Island. But we have exciting basketball coming up here on 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook. Tonight, the Stony Brook Seawolves men's basketball team hosts the American University Eagles. And we have live coverage from Island Federal Credit Union Arena. Here's Jeff Bernstein.
Thanks a lot, Dave, and welcome to the Island Federal Credit Union Arena. My name is Jeff Bernstein, and it's Stony Brook Seawolves men's basketball as the Seawolves will take on American University, the Eagles, here in this pre-Christmas game. As the Seawolves will take on American, Stony Brook comes in with a record of 6-6. American comes in with a record of 7-4. Good crowd here filing in. A lot of people have the next couple of days off due to the Christmas break, and Seawolves looking to get a record above 500 to go to the 7-6 mark before they head to Washington, which is a big trip for the Seawolves on Sunday, December 28th, which is an 8 o'clock tip Eastern Standard Time. I had an opportunity to talk to the head coach, Steve Peichel, about tonight's game, and these were his comments. Moments before tonight's game between Stony Brook and American University, we're talking to the head coach, Steve Peichel. And coach, before we talk tonight's game, give us your thoughts on the great win against Loyola.
You know what, after watching the tape, and you know, I was excited during the game because I really thought we did a good job, you know,
Moments before tonight's game between Stony Brook and American University, we're talking to the head coach, Steve Peichel. And coach, before we talk tonight's game, give us your thoughts on the great win against Loyola.
You know what, after watching the tape, and you know, I was excited during the game because I really thought we did a good job, you know, defensively and moving the ball, getting the ball into the post. Then I watched the tape, and I really felt good, you know, about how we attacked all their different zones and all their different pressures. And how we defended, they were late in the shot clock, so we had long possessions of trying to play great defense. Again, I like the way we're rebounding the basketball. You know, we had great efforts from our three veterans, Ray and Jameel and Trey Purifoy, and that makes it easier for the younger guys too. So real pleased to get a win. Nice to be back home. And now today we have a, you know, as good a team as there is in the Patriot League. Patriot League champs, picked to win the league this year. Player of the year in Pee Wee Gardner, the point guard. Jesse Reed, one of the best, you know, wing players in mid-major basketball. So a real hard test today against a real good American team.
Yeah, Jameel had a real good game. Almost had a triple-double, was the player of the year, week in the America East and the mid-major madness poll. So he's really doing it in all areas.
You know, he really is. And, you know, 8 blocks means how active he is on defense, on the defensive end. He's the leading rebounder in the nation. I mean, we obviously need him to do a lot of things for us, passing the ball, playing great defense, scoring. You know, all the things he brings to our team, but he's been great this year. His, you know, approach has been outstanding. His conditioning is outstanding. You know, and when he and Trey Purifoy play well together, we're a very tough basketball team to beat.
I know you talked about American, but looking at the Stony Brook program, a win would be huge today. Get yourself back over 500. Give you a couple days for Christmas before you head out to Washington.
You know, another great, you know, opportunity. Again, we played the 19th best schedule in the country out of 358 teams. So we've been challenged at every game. You know, to be able to have an opportunity today to go over that watermark would be great. Again, we continue to grow as a program. This is a great test for us defensively. All the different coverages that we will have to be involved with today with their offense bodes well for us down the road if we're able to defend them. So looking forward to today's game. Today's a real test. Again, this team's picked to win the Patriot League, which we all know what a good league the Patriot League is. And they have terrific guards, you know, that can kind of control the basketball game. So we have our work cut out for us. Hopefully our home court advantage will help us and factor in. We'll get a good crowd here today and, you know, be able to send them home for a good, you know, Christmas break.
What I've noticed again also is preparing pretty much the entire bench. A lot of guys are playing again, which they did in Loyola game. And I know that you've done this a lot of years. It gets them ready for the America East.
Yeah, I think it really does. And you just never know. You know, the more minutes you can get guys, you never know. Injuries, illness, sickness, you know, things come on the course of a long season. So you always want to have those backups and those other guys ready to go. And you got to play them some minutes. So it gets difficult at times. But really trying to groom our bench and trying to solidify our starting lineup, and so guys are comfortable in their roles. You know, we still have a little ways to go with that, but I like the fact that, you know, we played a lot of guys double-figure minutes the other day and played real well defensively, and we're going to need that kind of effort today.
I know you talked about initially a few things about American. What's the one primary concern about them?
Well, I mean, what we really have to do, they do a great job of using all the clock, and the minute you make one mistake defensively, they take advantage of you. So we got to be in a stance and ready to defend for 35 seconds in the shot clock. Very few teams in the country play you that long into the shot clock, so have to do a great job there. Have to do a great job of rebounding, so we're not in a position where we defend them for 30 seconds and then they get a second shot and we have to defend them for another 30 seconds. So they're the slowest paced team in the country. They'd like to play this game in the 30s. They're very good defensively because they have the ball so much on offense. You know, we want to play the game in the 60s. So it's going to be a battle of paces, and our defense is going to have to be great.
Best of luck tonight, Coach.
Thanks, Jeff.
That was Steve Peichel, the head coach of the Stony Brook Seawolves, as the Seawolves are ready to take on the American University Eagles. We're going to send it back to the WUSB studios for the next minute, get an update about everything going on in the world of sports. You're listening to the longtime home of Seawolves Sports, WUSB.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason, formerly of the New York Jets, and you're listening to Division I Seawolves Sports on WUSB 90.1 FM.
All right, Jeff, back here at the WUSB studios. I'm Dave Mamo. 3 minutes until 7 p.m., 48 degrees light drizzle on the north shore of Long Island. All of the other basketball teams in the America East, men's teams, are off tonight, as are the women's teams. So tonight's game between the Seawolves and the Eagles is the only game in progress that involves the America East. We do have other local NCAA men's games today. Earlier today, Iona defeated Florida Gulf Coast by a score of 86-67. It was LaSalle over Hofstra, 83-74. And St. Peter's down Fairleigh Dickinson, 69-60. Coming up just a few minutes from now, tip-off, St. Francis of New York at Monmouth. Sacred Heart takes on Rutgers. It's Cornell at Siena. And then New Jersey Institute of Technology will face number 7, Villanova. Right now, let's send it back to Island Federal Credit Union Arena right here on the campus of Stony Brook University. Jeff Bernstein with live coverage of tonight's game.
Thanks a lot, Dave Mallow. Good to have Dave Mallow back in the WUSB studios. Wish him happy holidays. Wish everyone else happy holidays here at WUSB, and a safe and happy holiday to everybody. Jameel Warney set a Division I school record with 8 blocks against Loyola, Maryland. The last Stony Brook player with 8 blocks was Michelle Savan against York College in 1995. Jameel Warney was named the America East Player of the Week for the third time this season for games the week of December 15th. He also was the Player of the Week in the MidMajorMadness.com poll. Stony Brook is 5-0 this season at home, including 4 wins by at least 10 points. After allowing an average of 78 points per game in games against Cincinnati, Princeton, and Providence, Stony Brook allowed 60, including 52 in regulation to Canisius and 52 to Loyola Marymount. Loyola Maryland, excuse me. American is 5-0 in his last 5 games against America East opponents. 4 of those wins came against UMBC. Stony Brook has out-rebounded its opponents by double digits in 7 of 12 games. The overtime loss to Canisius was Stony Brook's first overtime game since beating Detroit in triple overtime last season. The previous overtime game before that was Cornell in 2011. American University closes out its non-conference schedule tonight. AU, as they call themselves, played inside Bender Arena for the second time this season last Saturday, earning a hard-fought last-second victory over Mount St. Mary's. Senior Pee Wee Herman
Pee Wee Gardner came through in the clutch with the game-winning buzzer beater layup with 0.5 seconds left, putting the Eagles up for good 46-45. So Pee Wee Gardner scored a game-high 17 points, hitting 7-8 from inside the arc while adding 1 3-pointer. Pee Wee played another 40 minutes against the Mount and ranked second in the country in minutes per game. Gardner also swiped 3 steals and leads the defensive charge with 2.2 steals per game. That's good for 56th nationally. So we're getting ready for the starting lineups. The national anthem will send it to the public address announcer here at the Island.
Our national anthem being performed tonight by the Port Jefferson Choir.
Great job. Getting ready for the starting lineups. We'll send it back to the public address announcer for the starting lineups here at the Island. Want to wish everyone a happy holidays as this last game before the Christmas break.
Ladies and gentlemen,
back to the public address announcer.
Starting lineups. First, for the visiting American University Eagles. At guard, number 0, Pee Wee Gardner. At guard, number 14, Jesse Reed. At guard, number 22, John Schoff. At forward, number 20, Charlie Jones. At center, number 44, Zach Elcano. The head coach is Mike Brennan.
Number 22, Brian Zach. rising freshman from Frankfurt, Germany, number 24, Roland Yama. At forward, a 6'7" junior from Chicago, Illinois, number 21, Rayshon McGrew. And at forward, a 6'8" junior from Plainfield, New Jersey, number 20, Deville Wardy. The assistant coaches are Ryan Dewar, Dan Ricard, and Lamar Chapman. The associate head coach is Jay Young. And the head coach for your Seawolves in his 10th season, Steve Michael.
All right, back here at the island. For American, it's Gardner, Reed, Jones, Schoof, and Elcano. Mike Brennan, in his second season as the head coach for the Seawolves, is Parafoy, Warney, McGrew, Secunder, and Nyama. Steve Peichel in his 10th season for the Seawolves. As the Seawolves come out in the home whites trimmed in red and gray. American comes out in the royal blue trimmed in white and red. American out of the Patriot League, Stony Brook out of the America East. Crowd still filing in here at the island. Getting ready for a live action. And Seawolves win the tip. They go from left to right on your radio dial. Parafoy has the ball up top. Lob pass to Jameel Warney for the layup. And the Seawolves take the 2-0 lead. Seawolves are in the man-to-man. Over on the left side, it's Schoof up top to Elcano. Back up top to Gardner. Driving the lane is Jones. Jones on the low post. Back up top to Elcano. He's a big guy. On the right side is Gardner, 14 on the shot clock. Very deliberate offense is American. Out of bounds. Schoof steps on the sideline. That's a turnover for American. Very deliberate offense. American, they play great defense. So the Seawolves are going to have to pick it up offensively against this good 7-4 team. They beat Brown. And they've played, had some great wins. Hampton, Presbyterian, and St. Francis, PA. Warney into the low post, puts up the hook shot. No good. Scramble for the rebound. Secunda comes up with the offensive rebound for the Seawolves. Drives the lane. Parafoy puts up the layup. No good. Scramble for the rebound is brought down by Elcano. Jameel Warney was the America East Player of the Week. Named yesterday. Almost had a triple-double against Loyola. On the right side, it's Jones. Stony Brook leads 2-0. 18:42 remaining in the first half. And Elcano hands off to Reed. Very deliberate offense. 13 on the shot clock. Up top to Reed. Reed on the left side to Jones. Jones looks inside to Elcano. Elcano against Warney off the glass. In and out. And rebounded by Jameel Warney. Warney wearing the shirt today. T-shirt underneath the regular jersey. Parafoy drives the lane. Skip but over to Nyama. Nyama drives. Spin move. Hook shot. Good! Nice move by Roland Nyama. And the Seawolves lead 4-0. Gardner has it up top. On the right side is Jones. Seawolves are in the tight man-to-man over to Gardner. 17:52 remaining in the first half here at the island. Seawolves lead 4-0. On the right side, it's Reed. 12 on the shot clock. Gardner skips it on the left side to Jones. 8 on the shot clock. Bounce pass to Elcano, a left elbow. 3 on the shot clock. Up top is Schoof for 3. Off the rim, no good. And an offensive rebound by Jones. American has the ball. 17:26 remaining in the first half. Seawolves and American non-conference action at the island. On the right side is Jones. Seawolves in that tight man-to-man up top to Gardner. Elcano over to Gardner. Up and on the move by Garner. Bounce pass on the left side. Three-point shot by Reed is good. Good ball movement by American. And Stony Brook leads 4-3. Nyama up top to Warney. Warney over to Perifoy. American in the man-to-man. Over to Secunda. Right side, Nyama. Nyama from 17. Back rim no good and rebounded by Alcano. Seawolves 2-for-4 from the field. American 1-for-3. Seawolves lead 4-3. 16:38 remaining in the first half. Gardner looks inside to Alcano. He's a big guy at 6'11". On the right side is Jones. Elcano's pass is kicked by Warney with 16:28 remaining in the first half. And American will take it out in front of the Stony Brook bench in the front court. Elcano backhand pass is good to Shoof for the layup. Nice pass, and American takes their first lead 5-4. Secunda on the right side, up top to Nyama. Left side is Perifoy. Over to Warney. Back on the right side, Nyama. 19 on the shot clock at the 16-minute mark. Inside of Warney. Warney to McGrew. McGrew's shot is blocked and picked up by Reed. Here come the Eagles. On the right side is Jones. Jones with the hard dribble. On the left side to Reed. Reed to Shoof. Shoof in the corner to Jones. Round the horn. Up top to Elcano. Elcano back on the right side of Jones. 13 on the shot clock. 15:30 remaining first half. 5-4 American. Baseline jump shot is no good by Shoof. And the Seawolves will get the ball. Media timeout. We'll take timeout as well. American 5, Stony Brook 4. You're listening to the longtime home of Seawolves Sports, WUSB.
This is John Sterling. You're right where you should be, following Seawolves Sports on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook.
All right, Jeff, games just getting underway in the NCAA. Villanova with an early lead over New Jersey Institute of Technology, 11-4. That game with 15:02 in the first half. Earlier today, Long Island High School basketball, boys basketball, Bayshore defeats William Floyd 74-68. It was Connectquad over Riverhead 57-48. Hophog downs Sachem East 69-60. Shoreham Wading River over West Hampton 52-32. Newfield defeats Central Islip 61-54. Same score, Huntington over Cold Spring Harbor, and Smithtown East gets by with a victory over Kings Park 56-39. Seawolves trail by one. Let's send it back to the arena. It's Jeff Bernstein.
Back here at the arena, Stony Brook down 5-4 early in the contest. Stony Brook shooting 2-of-6, American at 2-of-5. American 1-of-2 from 3-point range. And American out rebounding Stony Brook 4-3 very, very early. Stony Brook's largest lead is 4, American at 1. So you could see right off the bat that the American offense, they like to run the shot clock pretty much down to under 10 seconds every possession. They want